Hello and welcome back to the Collaborators Unite podcast. Chuck Anderson here, your host, and this is the show where we serve what we're calling big impact experts. And that is you if you prioritize impact over profits and you want to make a big positive difference in the lives of others, your community, and even the world. And in order to make a bigger impact, we must also be profitable. But what are the ways that we can grow? What are the ways that we can get our message out there to more people so we can make that bigger impact? And today is a treat because I have a friend of mine here who specializes in helping people grow their impact through JVs or joint ventures or different types of collaborations, but not just collaborations. And I think you've heard of JVs and collaborations before, but conscious collaborations. How do we take those to the next level? And so we're going to have a very fun conversation here today with Mark Porteous. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chuck. Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here. I love the name of the show, Collaborators Unite.
Right? Yeah. Let's come together. Let's make a bigger impact together. Right? And so...
And collaborators is different than like joint venture partner. There's a lot of things we'll talk probably more about, like the definitions, and you and I might have slightly different definitions. And depending on what industry you're in, joint ventures mean different things. Affiliates mean different things. But collaborators is a energy of equal exchange.
Oh, we're definitely going to dive deeper into that. You're right. In fact, I come from the telecom industry where joint ventures were something completely different. But so in the coaching and transformation industry, it's kind of the word that means let's do a collaboration or a reciprocal promotion or something like that. But we'll dive deep into that. Mark, tell everybody a little bit about your story. Like, how did it come to be that you're doing what you're doing now and that this is your message?
I'm going to give you the long story very quickly.
Okay.
I'm 55 right now. And when I was 22 years old, I was working for Greenpeace International. And the girl I was seeing at the time brought me into my very first metaphysical bookstore called the Spiral Circle in Orlando, Florida. And I read a bumper sticker that changed my life. And the bumper sticker is something probably people, most of you, your listeners have heard, that we're not human beings having spiritual experiences. We're spiritual beings having human experiences. And when I read that, it helped a lot of things around my own spiritual quest make sense. My mom was very Christian. My father had been a minister until I was 6 and then was like kicked out of the church that he built when he and my mom divorced. And so he went on his own spiritual quest of checking out different religions. So I share that because when I read that quote, I got very excited, like, oh, this makes everything make sense. I want to write a book about the human experience. And so I went home after that bookstore experience and told my dad that I wanted to write a book. He was an author. He had written 3 books. And so mostly I was excited that my dad would know I'm going to follow in your footsteps. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I wanted him to be proud of me. But instead, he said, well, don't expect to make any money writing a book. You need to have a business, not just a book. And I didn't understand what that meant at the time. So instead, a friend of mine had been tying string around girls' hair, creating hair wraps at Disney. And I saw what he had done. And so I started creating my own business, selling hair wraps at amusement parks, and did that to fund my passion. And 5 years later, I had over 100 employees around the country, most of them in Ohio. One of them was working full-time at a geriatric doctor's office, but was like managing all of my employees and all of my inventory and everything else. She was 20 years old at the time, and she's been managing my life ever since. We're now married. We got married a couple years later. But I realized that I had built this business to fund my passion. And after 5 years, I had not made any progress. So I sold my business, went into sales for somebody else. It was now Spectrum, going door to door, selling cable, internet, and phone. So that I could do what I was to write my book and to be able to fund it. And then 10 years later, I realized I still had not written the book. And my wife was now pregnant with twins. And I realized that the 10 years had gone by very, very fast, and that the next 10 years would go by much faster having twins. And that if I didn't do something different, I was going to teach my children what Tim Ferriss in the 4.5-hour work week calls the deferred lifestyle of putting off your purpose and your passion for safety and security. So that was really what it took, 18 years of planning. And then my kids, my wife being pregnant with twins, by the time they were a year old, I had my book published. My wife helped me publish it through Amazon's Create Space at the time. And then she was the one who said, okay, now what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And she suggested life coaching. I didn't know anybody in my life that had a life coach. I certainly didn't know anybody that was a life coach. But I looked it up online to figure out, okay, well, we've got twins coming. How much can a life coach make? And in 2011, the average life coach was making less than $20,000 a year. So I said, okay, that's not going to work. What else can we do? He said, you're looking at the average life coach. You're not an average salesperson. Why don't we look at the top? And we saw the Tony Robbins and all the other people that were making six, seven, eight figures a year. And so I decided that's what I was going to do. But before I left my corporate job, I went in and got a coaching certification, a 30-day coaching certification, where the first coach said, well, what is your niche going to be? And I said, I wanted to be a spiritual coach. And he laughed at me and said, well, you're not going to make any money as a spiritual coach. He said, you can pick any niche you want, but it has to be one of these three. It can be health, wealth, or love. And then you can sneak in spirituality like medicine and the dog food. And so that's really where it started. I got the coaching certification, and then I spent really the next year figuring out what I wanted to do. And then slowly it moved into really about building collaborations and joint venture partnerships. The people that started off as my coaches, I started building partnerships for them, doing joint venture brokering that then led into a partnership now, as you know, with David Ricklin in the joint venture directory, and just being a bridge for coaches, authors, speakers, people in the transformation industry that want to create conscious collaborations.
You know, I really appreciate you sharing your origin story. And I know you and I have known each other for a few years now, but it's really finally nice to just sit down and hear that. And when I hear your story, it reminds me of parts of mine. And, you know, how did we get here and where we came from and what we're doing now? I mean, one thing leads to another, but it's very far removed from where we first started.
Well, Steve Jobs says you can only connect the dots looking backward. But it all makes sense when you look backward.
Yeah, except that a lot of us try to look forward and see the entire journey in front of us so that we can get that guaranteed destination. And that is something I let go of a long time ago. So, well, still have moments of trying to force it, but you know, getting better at it all the time. What was you know, it's funny because I was probably looking at life coaching at around the same time you were. And yeah, I ended up serving life coaches very early because as a former chief marketing officer, I knew how to get clients. I knew where to find them. But most people that I was learning from in the life coaching industry, you know, had no idea. Right. And I still meet people today who have no idea how to get a client. What was the big turning point for you, the breakthrough for you that made it easier or where you felt successful as a life coach, like where it was working for you? Because I think, again, so many people that we serve are not there yet and they're just trying to figure that out.
So life coach is very broad. Mm-hmm. If anybody calls themselves a life coach, meet with Chuck. Talk about that, because that's not going to help get you where you want to go. You really want to narrow it down. And again, when I was given the three options, and those were the only three options I was given, health, wealth, or love, I picked wealth. And I figured, okay, I can help spiritual entrepreneurs, energy workers, Reiki, massage therapists, all of the different spiritual coaches to be able to market better and sell better. So I focus on money, but for the spiritual community. Because a lot of times there's mindset stuff around like, I shouldn't be charging for the gifts that God gave me and all of these other things. And I don't like being sold to, so therefore I'm not going to sell to anybody. And like, how can you really make an impact or difference or survive if you're not selling? So that's what I started off on, was like, okay, I'll work with sales and marketing for the spiritual community. But I was doing it in a way from my previous corporate sales of selling cable, internet, and phone, where I was wearing a uniform or a suit or, you know, whatever else. And so I thought I had to look like a professional salesperson to help spiritual coaches make money. And what I realized was authenticity was the key. Mm-hmm. And it was realizing like, oh, I don't have to try to be somebody else to do it. The thing that people are buying is me. I just need to be the best version of me. I need to be the authentic me. And it takes a lot, because we don't realize all the programming of we become what we think everybody wants us to be. And if we can really just become the purest version of ourselves. So there's a combination in the business strategy of the inner game. I mean, you can't separate the mindset and the inner work. To me, salespeople are always doing that, trying to be better thing. And so it kind of fits well, sales and personal development, because to me, my business is one of the top three forms of personal development and growth. I've got my business, being an entrepreneur, my marriage, and being a father. Those things are the way that those are my forms of personal development. And so if we look at our business that way, it's not just about strategy, it's about who we're being.
I love that. Well, it sounds like we're living very parallel lives, because those are my big teachers of how to be as well. And I always say to people in my group coaching program is that your business will not grow beyond the extent that you do. Right? Like, in other words, grow yourself first, because you have to be ready for it, including being open to collaborations and joint ventures. And I remember very early on, I was such a chronic do-it-yourselfer. And that was a struggle. And today I always say, well, you know, succeeding in business is a team sport. And I think you would agree with that with some of the collaborations. But let's start with have collaborations and joint ventures and working with others. How has that helped your business and maybe even others that you've worked with or that you know? Where does that come in? Because I know a lot of coaches, they're really focused on the craft. They're focused on the impact, but maybe aren't really embracing collaborations the way they could to make that bigger impact that's available to them right now.
I love that you bring that up, because, again, like you say, I think most people that are probably listening right now are so focused on the service. And I love that you really talk about the craft, because it really, again, most of the people I serve are looking at how is the best ways. They're always trying to improve how they can serve. And so often people will be so focused on the service that they're not thinking about marketing. They're not thinking about their systems and the structures and how they do that. And so they're missing this out. They're like, I'd love to talk about marketing and sales and joint ventures, but right now I'm focused on service. And I'm like, well, you can serve a lot more people through this. And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't take away from you doing your service. It will complement. It will add to, it will give you more people to serve in a scalable way. Because that's another thing, is that, of course, you know, depending on how you have your business structured, if you're doing all one-on-one work, you're not always looking for new clients. So you want to be able to have a scalable business. And if you have a scalable business, joint ventures are a great way to scale it.
You know, I love that you use the word scale, because when we have conversations with people about what is impact, making a big impact mean to you, and most of them just define it as, I want to reach as many people as possible with my message. And sometimes out of alignment with, like, they want to reach as many people as possible, but also, you know, either doing everything themselves or, like you say, focused on the service, because it's not better service that's going to get you there, the bigger impact and reaching more people. It's reaching more people. And it just turns out that people, there are others that already have your ideal audience, that they already have the people that you want to serve, and they can just put you in front of them.
That's it. Exactly. And again, it's not just anybody. It's about aligned people. There are a lot of people that are perfectly aligned with your vision, and they have an audience full of people that need you. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It's not transactional. It really is about alignment.
You know, I love that alignment. And that's one of the things we've been really focused on the last few years, is deeper connections with our favorite people to work with. In our world, you know, we all talk about being enlightened beings, especially in the transformational space. But the number of transactional conversations that actually occur, and I'm like, we say we're about relationship, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, is it fair? Is it even? Like, you know, and so that's very transactional language. What are you noticing in our industry that kind of it's maybe taking people away from the big impact that they want to make?
Well, there's two things that I'm seeing. One is there's a diminished return. Trust is the number one commodity right now. Mm-hmm. And so when people just see this constant barrage of cross promotion, it's not getting the same return that it used to get. And it's really more, the second thing I'm seeing is it's about building relationship capital. That's what develops the trust. So it's not just measuring, okay, how many clicks are you sending or how many people are opting or how many people are buying. It's really with your partners, like you and I, it's not just, we serve the same audience, let's do something together. We have the same values, we serve the same people, and we have aligned mission. And so we can amplify each other versus what's in it for me. Because it still feels like there's a lot of people that say they're here for service, but the way that they do business looks like they're still in it for what's in it for me.
Yeah, what's in it for me is a very common, I mean, again, they say that they're not, but just in the language that you're hearing, it's obviously they're thinking, how can I fill my program? How can I? And I hear it all the time at various networking events where it's like, I have this event coming up and I just need a few more people to promote me so that I can reach my goal. Right. And that is an extremely transactional thing to say versus what I think you're saying is like, you know, how do we align? How do we serve each other in a deeper way? And I think when you build enough relationships like that, you don't have to look that hard for more of them because of the depth. You want to expand on that?
Absolutely. I'm biting the tongue too, because you know, David and I have our JV directory networking events twice a month. And we have all these people that come, and we try to position it around reciprocity. David always talks about Zig Ziglar's quote that you can get anything you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And the idea of building the law of reciprocity, if you put other people's first. And it's another thing with the JV game is it's a game of I'll go first rather than, hey, if you promote me, I'll promote you. It's like, hey, I'll start doing things for you. And again, you're not just doing it for everybody. You're doing it for people that you feel aligned with and you want to get their message out. David tells a story about with Jim Rohn. Many people know him as the one who got Tony Robbins started on his path, and that David had just promoted and promoted and promoted and never asked for anything. But then when he finally had his book come out, he said, hey, can you promote it? And they did. And he did like $176,000 in a day because of building relationship capital. He didn't ask him first. He'd already been doing that other thing. And the same thing with you and many of the clients, not just what you do, but how you help your clients with their collaborations. It's not like you're asking, oh, what can you do for me? It's like, how can we make this a win? And that's the thing. We always focus on win, win, win is what's the win for the audience? What's the win for your audience and my audience? And then how do each of us gain out of it? Because it doesn't have to be the same thing. You might be doing a list build. I might be doing a revenue share. But as long as we're aligned with our mission and our intention, then it works out for everyone.
You know, that, and that really is the next level. And I didn't even realize it was a level, right? And, you know, when I first started off in the affiliate game, and then joint ventures was a very small part of what we do. We do a lot more, you know, what our transformation industry defines as joint ventures, a lot of collaborations, cross promotions and stuff. But more like what you're saying, it's like, well, we might have two different goals. One might be list build and another one might be, I just want to get the word out about something new or my podcast or whatever it is, and have that be the thing that we do. And so we're always taught in business to have measurements and stuff, and I think, and KPIs and all of that. And I think that it's really difficult to bring that to a true relationship. I was speaking to someone just this morning and say, like, look, you know, we have our favorite people to partner with. And it's not about the numbers. It's not about, oh, you brought more leads or opt-ins than somebody else. It's like, no, you played the game. I like working with you. I could see the effort that you put in. I can see your integrity because you did what you said you were going to do. That's my new definition, just in the last couple of years, of who my favorite people are to partner with. And the numbers will come, honestly. It takes faith. But when you stop thinking about, or at least it was for me, when I stopped thinking so much about that and just, like you say, alignment, man, it's a really fun experience. It's really cool experience. And you know almost immediately the people you want to work with and the people you don't want to work with, because
right.
It's energy.
The integrity piece, like you said, just when you do a small joint venture, it's a summit or a gift giveaway or even just like a swap or a Facebook Live, whatever it is, when people follow through, when they say they're going to send you all the information and then they send it 4 days later, like, okay, it takes a little longer. And then when they show up 3 minutes late for their interview and then when they slow and posting, so you can see the way that they do anything is the way they do everything. And it is much more about who we're being than like the audience that we're reaching. I'd much rather have a partner who makes it fun and easy to play together than somebody who's got a big audience, but they're all about their ego and what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said, make it easy. And that is like a huge principle that I teach in my program where they're learning how to get affiliates and do collaborations. And it's like, make it easy. You know, when you go to Walmart and you walk up to the doors of Walmart and the doors just open, okay. It's like you just walk in. And that's how easy your partnerships need to be. So that, and I find that when we did that, not only is it easy to get people to say yes to collaborations, they want to do it again because they had a good experience.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And not only do they want to do it again, they want to tell all their friends like, hey, I just had this really good thing. You might want to promote it too. My audience loved it. And then they promoted me back. It did really good both ways. So yeah, being a good JV partner has this ripple effect.
Well, and then I think there's another level after that. And that is, what more could we do together? And I have seen so many good new ideas come. It's like, you know, it's like the Reese's peanut butter cups, you know, when they took chocolate and peanut butter and put it together for the first time and it was magic. It's like, well, what is, it's that 1 + 1 = 3, you know, type of where it's like you plus me equals this new thing that wasn't possible before. But that really comes from being aligned and the relationship. Are you noticing things like that?
Well, yeah, even the word mastermind. I mean, the idea is that anytime two or more come together for a shared vision, a third mind appears. And yeah, that's the same thing with a partnership. Collaborations create possibilities that could not happen alone in a vacuum.
Hmm. Yeah, so true. I know you talk a lot about different types of collaborations. I mean, you know, the I promote you, you promote me is kind of become the default in our industry. I talk a lot about, but there's so many more possibilities and where I know we could talk about this all day. So where we've covered a lot of good ground, but tell everybody about that. And I think you have a gift or whatever that can help people learn more about the different types of collaborations that are available to them.
Beautiful segue there because, yeah, most people look at a joint venture very narrowly as a PLF style launch. PLF is product launch formula created by Jeff Walker decades ago. One of my mentors, Alan Davidson, was in his very first product launch formula program. And that's, again, what most online marketers still use today for online JV launches. But being on somebody's stage, being in somebody's summit, being in an anthology, doing a Facebook Live swap, doing a gift swap, there's so many other ways to collaborate that, yes, we created a free report, 21 ways to catapult your business using joint ventures and collaborations. That'll be one of the free gifts inside of that JV gift bundle. We also invite everybody to a networking event. So if you're a coach, author, speaker, expert, wellness expert, when you come here, these are all other experts that are looking to collaborate in all these different ways. So it gives you an opportunity to find people to collaborate with. And then we'll also have a training. David Richland, my business partner, does a monthly training on how to create great JV partnerships. So you get all three of those in one.
I love all of that. Well, if you want to get access to that, look right beneath this video. There's a link there. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, just open up your phone and whatever player you're on, all of the links are there and how to connect with Mark and how to connect with JV Directory. But download this report and read it before you go and do your next collaboration call. Because if you don't, the you promote me, I promote you is going to continue to be the default. And that's not always the way. And if there's a message we want you to hear today, it's start to move beyond that and, you know, find alignment. What is the best way to align? And when you have 21 different ways, you don't have to do the default anymore. Now you have, you know, 20 other ideas. I'm sure reciprocal promotions is one of the 21. So you're going to have 20 more ideas that you can do so that you can start to bring your creativity and your energy to it. It's not just like, oh, Mark's here. Well, what do you got coming up, Mark? I'm going to promote you. You promote me. No, it's like, where do we align? Right. Just even in this conversation, I've known you for a few years now, Mark, but just in this conversation alone, I learned so much more from you. And I'm like, what else can we do? Like, we're very aligned in a lot of ways. And I appreciate you for that.
I appreciate you as well. And it's funny because you were saying at the beginning about kind of being a lone wolf. And a lot of people in this industry are that way. And they're just, you know, so focused on the service or they've had a negative JV experience. They've had somebody where they tried to do something and it just didn't work out. And they're like, I'm never doing that again. And that's like kind of if you went on a date and the date went bad and said, screw that, I'm never going to date again. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd just be stuck alone at home in your apartment or your house, whatever else. And the same thing with your business. To me, collaboration is not just about making a bigger impact, but it's about my life is better because you are in it, Chuck.
Yeah, right. And when your relationships hit that level, it just becomes automatic. It just becomes so natural and organic that you don't have to force it. You don't have to try to convince anybody of anything, right? Mm-hmm. And so I love that. Just the energy of that is amazing. Mark, thank you. This could have easily launched into a full day workshop.
And maybe it will someday.
Maybe it will one day. And we have, of course, many more conversations in the future. We're very aligned. We're serving a lot of the same people and always looking for ways to make a bigger impact. And I sincerely hope that our audience has been inspired by that because we're living the life. And when you get out of that transactional world and more into just really aligned relationships and what you call conscious collaborations, there's a whole other level. There's a whole other level to this that, you know, it's like if there was an easy button, this is the easy button.
That's great.
It's not a tactic. It's not a AI. It's not, then, you know, it's real relationships with people who you're meant to work with. And so, Mark, on that note, is there any final piece of advice or words of wisdom you want to leave our audience here with today?
Well, you've inspired me to create the JV easy button. I'll work on a blog about that. But mostly I just want to encourage those people that obviously you're here for a reason. You're mission driven and you don't have to do it alone. It's not even just about getting out there marketing, but it's about building relationships with other people that are aligned with your vision and mission. It can be something as simple as masterminding and brainstorming and just being able to share some of the challenges that you have. But I highly encourage you to stop doing it alone and start figuring out ways that you can collaborate to make a bigger impact and accept the extra revenue that comes with that.
Yes, accept it and accept it graciously. So. Yeah. Beautiful words to end this episode by, Mark. Thank you. And to our audience, thank you as well. I highly encourage you to go beneath this video right now, click the link and get those 21 ideas on how to collaborate beyond just the reciprocal promotion idea. That's been the default, but there's so many other ways that you can do this. And I want you to, you know, touching on something Mark said earlier, like if you tried something before, be open and willing to try it again. So many times, you know, it was so close to working. 90% of what you tried probably worked, and it was only the 10% that didn't. And so don't throw the whole thing away. Just fix the 10% that didn't and move forward. And remember, you might be one collaboration away from the big breakthrough that allows you to solve your obstacles, to making a bigger impact, that big impact that you feel that you're called to make. And so go out there and create those, maybe reach out to somebody today that you have been meaning to follow up with. And in the meantime, remember that the only way to fail is to quit. So keep moving forward, everybody, and we will see you on the next one. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by the Collaborators Toolkit. If you're looking for better ways to grow and scale your business through collaborations and strategic partnerships, our free Collaborators Toolkit contains the best resources from our workshops, as well as contributions from our guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday business challenges and to access highly effective ideas that can grow your business exponentially. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and our gift to you for being a valued member of our community and a subscriber to our show. You can get free instant access to the Collaborators Toolkit today by visiting our website at www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. That address again is www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. Register today, and I'll see you on the inside.